Swift Currents, Chapter 1. Though it was barely light, Callie was up early, her skin bathed in sweat before she even left her pallet. On this unusually warm and humid morning in late October, the tepid water in her washbowl added moisture to the thick air, but did not cool her. As she pondered the tasks ahead of her, Callie gently cleansed her sleeping daughter's peaceful brow. Much was expected of Callie that day. After breakfast, she had to begin preparations for a feast on the plantation grounds before going to Beaufort to pick up the captain's favorite seasonings. After that, she would spend the rest of the day and much of the next in the cookhouse. Her thoughts wandered toward her younger brother Lucas, the best slave boatman on the plantation, who would row her to town on the incoming tide. Mrs. Bowen had insisted gently that Lucas be on the Beaufort Wharf to pick up her son as soon as the steamer brought him home from the Naval Academy. Callie stepped from her one-room cabin to find the air so still that she felt a stir as morning doves rose in a flutter just outside her door. With water on two sides of the point of land where the big house stood, the sea breeze would be up by late morning on most days. She looked forward to the relief it would bring. A soft light began to add depth to the dark shadows that moved with her up the familiar footpath. Passing down the row of quarters reserved for the skilled slaves who worked directly with the planter and his family, she was grateful for the cabin she shared with her daughter. Their one-room home had a wooden floor and was sparsely furnished with a table, two chairs, and a bed just big enough for Sunny. Callie's pallet, near the small stone fireplace, had a blanket given to her by Captain Bowen that provided just enough cushion for Callie's long, slender frame. The captain had ordered his slaves to build the cabin especially for her about 5 years earlier. It was set slightly apart from the other shanties, affording some privacy for her. That the location also gave the captain cover for his dark purposes tempered her gratitude. Typically, summer warmth remained on the sea islands through October, but the recent run of relentless sun, heat, and humidity challenged anyone attempting to work outdoors past noon. Callie watched the field hands in the dull haze as they moved slowly beyond the ocean of cotton plants to the sweet potato field. Digging out those wonderful roots from the soil parched by the late summer sun had been particularly exhausting since Captain Bowen was determined to get the sweet potatoes out of the ground and the cotton picked as quickly as possible. In that effort, one of the oldest hands on the plantation had died in the field on the previous day. From Callie's 23 years of life experience with Captain Bowen as master, she knew that his decision to cut work hours short by an hour for the rest of the week was an act of property protection more than one of human kindness. With heart as heavy as the moist morning air, Callie knew she had to forge ahead. The words of her mama echoed in her ears as each new day began. Day clean, sunshine. With God, feel fine. She adhered to Mama Ruth's morning admonition, hoping for truth in its simplicity. Her spirit joined the faith to greet each new day with optimism, but her experience taught her to be wary. Callie walked out from under the last live oak tree on her path to the big house, thinking that Mrs. Bowen must have been happy that morning as she awaited her son's return home. Then she saw Jacob, the plantation carpenter for the past 10 years, standing motionless down near the tide line, facing sunrise over the salt marsh. His thin, wiry arms hung limply by his sides. Callie stumbled down the bank of sand and grass, startling him as he spun to meet her, so that he nearly fell into the shallows. "You all right, Jacob?" Callie asked. "Ain't me you need for axe. You best check with your friend, damn massa." "Jacob," Callie anxiously looked up the bank toward the mansion looming above the marsh, its windows and encircling verandas providing ample opportunity for Captain Bowen to view his property. Jacob was not to be stopped. "What wrong with the man? He worked his cutting so hard, he killed me." Though sympathetic, Callie only said, "I just know massa worry about time for get cotton pick." "Don't make no sense. What massa know? Him see Franklin and Cato fall out. Massa lay 'em down and pour water on de head. Then make 'em work more. No, massa ain't slow down till Hezekiah draws that breath." His eyes welled with tears and his chest heaved. "Yes, sir, work hard for massa. For what? For nothing." Jacob spat over his shoulder toward the big house, more gesture than substance. "Jacob, you look for get whip yourself. I know you too smart for act like fool and decide a massa." His look to her, though respectful, came through watery eyes, a tear tracking down his clenched jaw. "You know I right, Jacob. Ain't gonna let massa lash your old skin. My heart care too much for you, Una." She grabbed his arm, pulled him, and walked him up the shifting sandbank. "Give Hezzy respect this day for the way he treat we. Look where him be now, Callie. Look where him damn get." Jacob stopped walking with Callie as they reached the footpath, pulling back from her urging grasp of his arm. "Ressa, we ain't so sure like you, Callie, the next day gonna be all right." She released his arm and stepped back, her eyes searing through his. "What I been done for Sonny, Bebe, Lucas, and you, Jacob? I take care of them Bowen like I been do since I been small child. I make sure we get what we need. What you say don't matter none for me." The fire in her eyes masked and stopped the tears that had begun to form, belying her words. She calmed herself, watching a pelican family of five fly a perfect V formation at treetop level. "Jacob, you know your fight ain't with me." She paused. "You know what I learn in the big house help all we people around ya." Jacob hugged Callie. He knew he had crossed a few lines, but he never meant to offend. They moved off, Jacob to his carpentry, and Callie to her list of tasks.